If you'd like to turn in the Pew Bible to the beginning of Romans chapter 8, on page 1134, we'll be just looking various parts of that passage. Over these past few weeks, we've been looking at this, if you like, this theme verse, the prayer of John the Baptist. He must become greater, I must become less. He must increase, I must decrease. And as we've looked at that and we've looked at the work of the Holy Spirit, part of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to fulfill that prayer. So that in our lives, Jesus becomes more and we become less. And that means that God is honored in our lives. I wonder what rules you live by. Go back to the children's talk. What rules do you live by? Because we all live by some sort of rule or another. Maybe it's not written down. I remember hearing a minister say that every congregation has a set of rules, but you don't know what they are until you break them, because they're not written down. Judges, right back in the Old Testament, there's this verse which simply says that the people just did what was right in their own eyes. They just did their own thing. They made up their own rules. These were God's people that he had rescued from slavery in Egypt, brought through their years of wandering in the wilderness, settled them in this wonderful promised land, and now people just did what's right in their own eyes, made up their own rules. Changed the rules whenever it suited them. Just did their own thing. And it was chaotic. The truth is that we all live according to something or someone. We all live according to something or someone. Maybe it's me. What rules me, what determines how I live is what I want. And so everything's just geared to giving me what I want. I live according to me and my needs, my wants. Maybe it's to do with the bank balance. Everything about me is geared towards building that bank balance up. Do anything just to build that up. Maybe it's about my job, my success, my reputation, and I will do absolutely whatever it takes to build up that job, that success, that reputation, whatever it is. And that's the rule that we live according to. But we live according to something or someone. The Bible is quite clear that there are only really two possibilities in this, and they're in this passage, verse 5 of Romans chapter 8. You can live according to the sinful nature, and that expresses itself in lots and lots of different ways. It expresses itself in the greed and the jealousy and the anger and the hatred, all of the other things that we see all around us when we live according to the sinful nature. There's one possibility. The other possibility is simply that we live, again in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5, we live in accordance with the Spirit. And according to the Bible, those are the only two possibilities. We either live according to the sinful nature, which expresses itself in a myriad of different ways, or we live in accordance with the Spirit. We yield to the directing and empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. The Bible doesn't see any other possibilities. It's one or the other. So what are we living according to? Now, we would look at that verse 5 and I would hope most of us would say, I want to live in accordance with the Spirit. It's easy to say. It's easy to talk about. But all of us know it's not easy to do. It's not easy to live. But thankfully, we are not left to our own devices. When God gives us his rules, when God gives us his word, he doesn't simply throw it at us and say, get on with it, do the best you can, because he knows that our best is not enough. God gives us his word and gives us the grace that we need to build that word into our lives. We're not left on our own. Part of the Spirit's work within us, we've said over these past few weeks, is to guide us into all truth and then to enable us to live that truth. It's not just a matter of knowing the truth up here. It's knowing the truth and being able to live that truth. And again, the focus is not on us, what we can do, what we're able to do. The focus is on God's grace and what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do for us. It's about God and his grace. The first verse of that chapter 8 in Romans simply says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Again, just those two options. The Spirit of life, the Spirit, and the law of sin and death. The law simply points out and condemns us. So whenever you're pulled over on the road because that little camera has caught you, simply pointing out you were over the speed limit. Doesn't remedy it, points it out. The law, if you like, condemns you, but doesn't give a remedy. It's a bit like going and having an x-ray taken, and an x-ray points out what the problem is, but it, in itself, it doesn't solve what the problem is. So the law points out our sinfulness. And here Paul reminds us that what the law was powerless to do. The law points out our sin, but it can't fix it. Jesus does that. God sends his son to set right, which the law only pointed out. So we can either live according to the law of the Spirit, where we're under the control of the life-giving Spirit of God, or we can live according to the law of sin and death, which ultimately produces death. If you were to go back a couple of chapters in the book of Romans, you'd find this verse that simply says, the wages of sin is death. And we've heard that, and we see it so often, and it's right, but we need to hear the second part of that verse as well. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, it's these two options. Death or life. There doesn't seem to be any other option there for us. Paul reminds us in verse 4 that those who are led by the Spirit, those who allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide and direct them, those who live in accordance with the Spirit are sons of God, children of God. Now, sometimes people read that, sons of God, and think, well, hang on a minute. How can I be a son of God? Female. In the Greek and Roman culture to which this letter was originally written, it was the adopted sons who had all the rights of a natural son. And so when Paul writes here, he's saying, all of us were like adopted sons. We have everything that God has for us through faith in Jesus. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we are loved children of God. You remember Jesus telling the story about a young man who grabs his inheritance from his father, dashes off, wastes it, and gets to the stage where he thinks, you know what, I'd be better off being a slave in my father's house. And heads back home to make this great speech about how he wants to be a slave in his father's house. And instead, his father meets him at the gate, throws his arms around him, and reminds him that he is a loved child. That's what's at work in this verse, in this passage. When the Spirit of God is at work in us, we're reminded again and again, we're no longer slaves to sin, we are loved children of God. Loved children. So what rules do you live by? What do you live in accordance with? If you were to go back and read in Judges, that time when everyone did what was right in their own eyes, the result was absolute chaos. Mayhem. Everybody just did what they wanted to do. Interesting, if you read the papers, look at the headlines. Chaos. Mayhem. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes, thinking that it's freedom. And yet it just pulls us deeper and deeper down into a slavery. The answer is to be in Christ. The answer is to allow His Holy Spirit so to work in you that you know that you have this Heavenly Father who wants you to know Him as Abba, Father, who wants you to know Him in that close, intimate way. This is one of those occasions when I'm going to use that phrase, when I was in Jerusalem, that I promised I would never use, but I'm going to use it anyway. Walking along in a crowded marketplace, there was a wee fella ran across to find his dad in the marketplace, and I didn't understand a word of what he said, shouting at us, but I did pick up Abba, Daddy. Paul says here, the Spirit of God working in you allows you to call this God Father. This close relationship that God wants you to have with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. And part of the work of the Spirit is to allow you to do that. To know that you are no longer a slave, but you are a loved child of God. And that expresses itself not just in turning up on a Sunday morning. It expresses itself not just in how we think or how we behave. It's in all of that. It's in all of our lives. It's in heart, mind, and body. Everything about us expresses this desire to live in accordance with His Spirit. And when we do that, Jesus becomes greater and we become less. When we do that, Jesus is honored in our lives, in the life of our church, in this community, wherever we go, He is honored because people see Him rather than us. Who or what do you live in accordance to, in accordance with? Who or what do you give heart, mind, and body to? Are you still that slave, allowing what the Bible calls our sinful nature to dominate us, to control us, to direct us? Or if we come to that living faith in Jesus Christ who sets us free to be what He wants us to be. Paul reminds us when he writes to the church in Corinth, if anyone is in Christ, he's not just slightly changed, not just waking up and trying to turn over a new leaf. If anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The old management has gone. And we can put up one of those banners that you sometimes see in shop fronts that says, under new management. Because our lives are changed. Heart, mind, body. Lived in accordance with the Spirit of God. May God bless us. May God give us the grace to realize who and what we live in accordance with, and to hear His call to receive Him and be known as children of God. Let's pray together. Lord, there are so many voices that beckon us, pressures that push us and shove us around, and if we're honest, we struggle to know who or what we do live in accordance with. And so forgive us, Lord, that we are swept about like ships on a stormy sea. And help us, we pray. Work in us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, do not let us rest until we come to that place where we gladly live our lives in accordance with your Spirit. And this we ask so that your name would be given honor and glory in our lives and in our life together as a church. And we pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen.